We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Kuf Mem Gimel in the Shalem edition, Shin Lamed in the Musad Rav Kook edition. And the Ran had said that when Hashem was explaining to Aaron and Miriam how Moshe was different, so he was explaining to them the reasoning behind it, not just the final point, look, he's different. And the Ran had said that when something doesn't have an opposing force, it remains constant. So if other prophets only attain their prophecy through a dream or a vision, so then their bodies get in the way, so then their bodies have to get out of the way, so to speak, in order to attain prophecy. Moshe's prophecy was not that way. So then that means that Moshe's body did not stand in contradiction with his prophecy. He was able to have all his faculties. He was able to be focused and awake and in full capacity when he had prophecy. That means that Moshe's body was so spiritual, his physical self was so spiritual that he could have prophecy without losing the control of his body. So then other prophets could not have prophecy at any moment because they couldn't stand up to it. It contradicted their physical aspect. Moshe could have prophecy at any moment because there was no contradiction between the prophetic vision and his physical being. So here Hashem was revealing to Aaron and Miriam the reasoning behind it. God could have just said, Moshe gets prophecy at any given moment, he couldn't be with his wife. Hashem was showing them, no, it's more than that. The reason he can have prophecy at any moment is because his body is on such a high level, he's so pure that it doesn't contradict his physical being. Now, combine that with the following. מצורף לזה שהודיעה מאוד שנבואתו לא תבוא באמצעות הכוח המדמה כאשר תהיה בשאר הנביאים. I went back three or four lines. Yet to that God explained to them that Moshe's prophecy did not use any part of his imagination. והומרו בכל ביתי נאמנו. As God says, Moshe is trusted throughout my house. And we discussed that other prophets would see a vision, and it was a prophetic vision, but then they'd have to interpret the vision. So there was an element where the vision was not the exact meaning. It wasn't that they got word for word what they were saying. So they had to use their own mind, their own soul and mind to figure out what the prophecy was, which again was considered prophetic, but it still involved more of the prophet himself. Whereas Moshe did not. Moshe got every word, word for word. What does it mean, Moshe's trusted throughout my house? Some commentaries explain that it means like someone who's trusted in the house, who's allowed free access. You let him in, you let him out, you give him a key. That's the idea of Bechol Beiti Ne'emanu. The Ran says, I'm going to give a different interpretation. אבל אני אפרש בזה עניין אחר. I want to explain differently. והוא שנבואת משה הייתה יותר נאמנת מנבואת שאר הנביאים על הצד אשר אבאר. Moshe's prophecy was more trustworthy than any other prophet, the way we will explain now. והוא as follows. שידוע שהכוח אשר יחזב באדם תמיד הוא הכוח המדמה. We know that the element within a human being that misleads him is his imagination. If we didn't have an imagination, if we were really just logical beings, then we stick to the straight and narrow, we'd do what was right, and there wouldn't be any problems, right? But then we're granted this imagination, which is a wonderful thing. It gives us the capacity to innovate, but it also gives us the capacity to innovate in the wrong directions. We sometimes imagine all kinds of things, and the simplest example is how a person fantasizes. Right? Very often a person ends up in sin because he spent a lot of time fantasizing over sin. So the Talmud says the average person on an average day has at least one inappropriate fantasy. It's the average person on an average day. His mind wanders. So, again, if there's one component in the human being that misguides him, it's the koach hamidameh, his imagination. Shemidako sheachli binyan binyan acher, because part of what the imagination can do is confuse a person, cause a person to misallocate, to misappropriate, to think one thing is really something else. En mitziyut elav klal. Sometimes you can misallocate, you can think this is something which is really not relevant at all. You see this all the time where people will say, God wanted me to do this. But God commands you in the Torah not to. But then a person can imagine that he's seen so many signs that this is the right move. We had a student who came one day and said he's going to Ulpan, an irreligious co-ed Ulpan. I said, you know, that's not exactly the right place for a good, firm person to be. And he said, but I have so many signs that that's what God wants me to do. Okay, it's hard to argue. But that's an issue we all have. We contend with it on a daily basis, that our imagination can cause us to be misguided. And we repeatedly make this mistake. A person imagines that if he'll rush out of davening, then he'll make the earlier bus. Everything will work out right. We use our imagination to allow ourselves to do a lot of things. Now, if the average prophet would have his prophecy, and one component in attaining prophecy was also the imagination. So yes, it's a spiritual it's a spiritual experience which also taps into the imagination. So then the prophet is seeing in the vision something which really doesn't exist. Let's take an example. Once you see this example, you'll be able to compare. We have the prophet Zechariah, one of the final prophets, Itnaba. He gave the following prophecy. He says, Reiti, you guys all know this prophecy. We read it twice a year. He says, I saw v'inem norat zahav kula. I saw this gold menorah. V'gula al rosha v'shiva neot aleha, shiva v'shiva mtzukot na nerot asher al rosha. It's got seven candlesticks coming out of it. And out of each one comes out another seven. שבעה ושבעה מוצקות לנרות אשר על ראשה, ושניים זיתים עליה, אחד ממין הגולה ואחד משמאלה. It's got two olive branches on the top, one to the right, one to the left, and then the olive branches will sort of squeeze themselves, and the oil will come pouring out into the cups of the menorah. לא יראה דבר אמיתי כלל. Zechariah wasn't really seeing a menorah. There was no such candelabra. Shayalo mitziut. He didn't see anything that really existed in the world. Uma shaya omer. And when Zechariah says, "Ra'iti, I saw v'inem norat zahav. Behold, a golden menorah." Lo yaroeh ota klal. Did he really see it? He didn't see it. Av mitzad shaitan v'ato b'emtzaut koach hamdameh yanir'ei lav kilo yaroeh achizayon hazeh. But it felt like he saw it because his prophecy was also working on his koach ha-medameh, on his imagination. Ve'inyan amiti mimenu haya inyan ha-mchuvan ha-nimshal. But the truth is that Zechariah gave a prophetic message. Ke'omro v'an v'omar elav ma shnei ha-zeitim ha-ile. What happens next is Zechariah asks the angel, what are these two olive branches? Ve'yomer ele shnei bnei ha-yitzar. So the angel answers him. He says, those are the two producers of oil. And obviously, there's a whole prophetic vision there. He named Cain, Imiyot Ainyan and Yomazva Shakivun Bo Amiti. So then, even though Zechariah's message is true, Hachizayon Kulo Lo Haya Amiti, Aval Inyan Nidme. The vision he's seeing is not a true vision. It's not that he's seeing what's really there. He's seeing a picture in his imagination which will represent the true message of God. But nonetheless, it's a picture. The picture isn't the real thing. When you see a video, you're not seeing the real thing. When you see a picture, you're not seeing the real thing. In your imagination, you can translate it to the real thing. Very often people get confused. I saw a video of someone saying Kiddush. Should I say Amen? No. But the man was there saying Kiddush. Right. Is it okay to play that video on a weekday? What'll be if I leave the video running into Shabbos? You know, they have reruns on TV, right? So sometimes they have reruns of rabbis talking. So you say, wait a second, can the rabbi talk on Shabbos? So some rabbis tell them, on condition that there's always a footer, a note there that says recorded on a weekday. If you want to play it throughout the week and keep running the reruns, okay, even if it runs through Shabbos, so long as there's a sign on the bottom that says throughout the playback, this was recorded on a weekday. But very often, you know, I could say a bracha myself as I'm saying a shir, and then I'll listen to that shir, and I'll be tempted to say Amen. Wait a second, who said that bracha? Right, I'm hearing my own voice, but our imagination right away clicks in. Is there a person here? No. Is there a blessing here? No. But in our mind, we can see it. So the prophet is getting a true message, but it's working through his imagination. It's working through a vision. So he's seeing the vision in his imagination. We call it a prophetic vision, but he's not seeing the real thing. He's not seeing what's happening. He's seeing a picture, and from that picture, he will give the real message. Ve'lo ken inyan Moshe, but Moshe didn't work that way. His prophecy wasn't like that. Moshe never saw a vision or a picture. Moshe never had to see in his imagination to see the picture and then give over the message. And that's what God was saying. Pe'el pe' adaber bo. God says, I speak to him mouth to mouth, so to speak, directly. I show him exactly what I want him to see. There are no riddles. There are no visions. There's a verbatim, the words that Moshe should know. Then God says, he's trusted throughout my house. Anything he tells you he's seen in my house, it's the real thing. It's not a vision. Anything Moshe sees is the truth. Other prophets see a picture. The picture represents the truth. Moshe sees the real thing. If Moshe says this is what he saw, that's exactly what he saw. And with that, the Ran concludes his eighth speech. Baruch Hashem l'olam. Amen v'amen. Blessed is Hashem forever. Amen v'amen. That is the conclusion of the Ran's eighth speech.